Good evening, everyone. Big Merry Christmas. My name's Shane, and this is my beautiful wife, Christy. So we're the youth and young adult pastors here, and so good to be with you tonight.
It is. Well, Shane and everyone, the waiting is almost over. For those who are eagerly awaiting Christmas morning, it's one sleep left.
That's right. And those that are eagerly awaiting the end of Christmas, there's two sleeps left.
As much as I oppose such cynicism, I have to admit that as a mother of four, I can relate to looking forward to Christmas being over. There's so much to do, so much to remember, so many trips to the shops, and then one more because you forgot something. It just seems endless, and it's very tempting to become a bit cynical or jaded or maybe just exhausted. Anyone for a nap? Especially in this heat.
If that's how you're feeling, then you've come to a good place. Not because we're planning on putting you to sleep tonight, but rather this is an opportunity just to pause and reflect. We're about to hit Christmas Day, and you put yourself in a position to hear the message, the most amazing message of what God has done, where he stepped into our history, into time. And it is phenomenal. And we pray that this would be a time where you get to reflect on that, and just maybe, this would be something that changes the way that you view Christmas, or even bigger than that, it might be something that changes the way that you view life itself.
Well, that's a lot to hope for.
Yeah, but we've got to have high hopes, don't we?
Let's see what happens anyway. We all live waiting for things. I know for me, I'm always looking forward to anticipating, you know, the next event, the next exciting thing on the horizon. It could be a new car or a holiday or a trip with old friends.
Maybe a nice warm shower.
Or waiting for someone to get out of the shower.
There is that too. Or that first sleep in the holidays. That's a good one too.
I was hoping for one tomorrow, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's unlikely with the kids.
And all that's great, looking forward to positive things when it's going well and things are going to plan, but how often do people and circumstances in life disappoint and fail to deliver, leaving us feeling frustrated and hopeless, even despairing?
Is there more to life than this? Is there something to hope for and to hope in that won't disappoint? It seems too good to be true, but that's the story of Christmas in a nutshell. Something that was too good to be true became truth. The eternal creator stepped into history. Mm. God came to live amongst us, not just to help us, but to make us brand new and to bring us into his family.
I love it. I love that about Christmas, that it isn't just a fable or just a story that we remember, but it's actual history that happened. And the story is powerful because it is true, and it has meaning for every person who has ever walked the planet and who currently walks the planet today. And it's a story that we're invited into by God himself. And each Christmas, we're reminded anew of this invitation and asked if we will step a little bit closer to it. So tonight, will you lean in a little closer and hear what God might be speaking to you? He loves you with an everlasting love.
So we're going to look at a couple of people in the Christmas story that don't get usually as much airtime as, say, the shepherds or the wise men, but we think that they're really a little underrated.
It's about a man and a woman.
Just like us.
But not married.
Unlike us.
Anna and Simeon.
Awesome names and even better people.
But first, a quick recap of where we're up to in the Christmas story.
So it has been an epic year.
Mary and Joseph both had angelic visitations.
They were told that their baby was going to save the world.
There was the Immaculate Conception.
There was a marriage without consummation.
The first child born in a barn.
And they had some pretty excited shepherds who had also seen angels and reminded them that this baby was going to save the world.
And there was distinguished foreigners with expensive gifts.
And this Mary and Joseph, at this point in the story, because they wanted to fulfill the law, they had arrived in Jerusalem and had come to the temple, and they were there in order to sacrifice as part of fulfilling of the law. So we pick up their story in Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin from verse 25.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said,
Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother,
Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
That's a pretty sprightly 84-year-old. She was fasting and praying in the temple day and night. And some translations have it that she spent 84 years after her husband died in the temple every day fasting and praying. But either way, decade after decade after decade of faithfulness and waiting for God. Pretty phenomenal. And also it seems that she was amongst the first, a woman, amongst the first to share the story of this great news.
So Anna and Simeon were waiting for Jesus. The Messiah was prophesied and they were prepared to recognize him when he arrived. Unlike many others in their day, who though they knew the Messiah was coming, they didn't recognize him when he arrived. Anna and Simeon were among the very few that were able to see it, perceive it, and even declare it to others. Listen to what Simeon himself says. My eyes have seen your salvation.
It's a massive shift from what the prophets of old had said. They said things like this. Moses had said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me.
He will do it, but not yet.
God had told Isaiah, for a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us.
He will be given, but not yet.
And God had spoken to Micah, one will come from you to be ruler over Israel.
He will come, but not yet.
So that one patterned after Moses, these guys were so familiar with that story. Their ancestors had been in slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years. And it was Moses that God worked through to bring them out of slavery and eventually into the promised land. And they'd had all sorts of signs and wonders that took place, including probably the most famous one, which was the parting of the Red Sea. And they walked through it and their enemies were killed. And so these guys were waiting. Their situation now was they were in their own land, but they were not sovereign over it. They had Roman occupation, and so they were wanting something similar than what had happened to their ancestors many generations before. And there was this promise of a Messiah that would come and would set them free, but they very much had in mind a political freedom. Mm. These guys were expecting something that would change their nation.
Mm. So the whole nation is there longing to be saved and set free. They knew the life they were living wasn't what it was supposed to be. They were subject to foreign rule, as Shane said, and they were but they were God's chosen people. Yet they hadn't heard the voice of God through their prophets for over 400 years. It was a hopeless time for the nation of Israel, and the hope of a Messiah was surely feeling like a pipe dream for many. They probably thought God had forgotten them, forgotten the promises he'd made to their ancestors, or decided that they didn't deserve a Messiah after all. And maybe that's how some of us feel, that life's not gone quite how we dreamed. Maybe there's more bad days than good, and maybe your hopes are slowly dying. Maybe you feel forgotten by God. But their story didn't end there, and neither does yours. When Simeon, a righteous man who has been awaiting the arrival, is led to the baby Jesus coming to be dedicated, somehow God reveals to him that this is him, the Messiah. He doesn't look like much now. He came in a form that people weren't expecting, in such a humble way, as one of us. But this baby is the promised seed spoken of to Abraham generations before. God hadn't forgotten. He'd never forgotten. The years of silence weren't rejection. God was preparing an incredible arrival. As Simeon saw Jesus, he knew. And he proclaims for all those to hear, "My eyes have seen your salvation."
So suddenly, it's present tense. No longer will raise up, no longer will be born or will come, but rather Simeon, as he takes up this child, he proclaims to God, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And we see this time and again throughout Jesus' life, where there's moments of revelation and declaration from those around him. This discovery of who this God-man actually was. And it changes everything in the lives of those that see it. It turns their world upside down. So this first one of Simeon is then followed by John the Baptist many years later. When looking at Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Not future tense, but present tense. My eyes can see him right now. This is the one. Peter, looking at Jesus, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the much maligned Thomas, doubting Thomas, falls at the feet of Jesus in worship and says, "My Lord and my God." When the revelation came, when the realization came, the people responded in acknowledging him for who he truly is.
And throughout history, people have experienced a profound change of heart and life when they recognize the truth of who Jesus is. The implications are profound and cannot be overstated. Encountering the Christ changes everything, and it's no different now.
It's still present tense. For us here in Aberfoyle Park, as we enter into 2017, it's still present tense. It is still 100% relevant to us. The only lack is whether or not we see him as who he truly is.
But what if you don't fit the stereotype of what you think a Christian or a follower of Jesus should look like?
So earlier in this chapter, we're looking at chapter 2 of Luke, we have an angel that makes this declaration to the shepherds. It says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people."
All the people.
Every last one.
It's just the start of the story, and we've already been given so much diversity. Mary is young, Elizabeth is old. The angels are appearing to both men and women.
There's the rich, wise men and the poor shepherds.
And the wise men were foreigners too.
And pretty well educated at that. Whereas those shepherds likely wouldn't have had any formal education.
There's diversity in age, race, gender, social standing.
So immediately after this verse that we're quite focused on tonight, of "My eyes have seen your salvation," he continues on in these words where he's actually blessing God or giving praise to God as he says this. Verse 31, he says, "That you have prepared in the presence of all peoples," of everyone, all peoples. We get the clue that this was not race specific. There are clues right throughout the Old Testament, but still the Jews saw God's love and acceptance of them as an exclusive thing, not available to the other nations, but only to them. But God's love is for everyone, regardless of race. And this concept was offensive to many of the Jews. Simeon then goes on to elaborate. He says, "A light for revelation to the Gentiles." To everyone that doesn't call themselves a Jew or isn't a Jew, this is a light for revelation, this Messiah that I hold. So at that, the gates had been flung open. This was not just for a particular bloodline. No one could anymore truthfully say that this was just for the Jews.
And as the story of Jesus' life develops, we see him including an even wider group, people of ill repute. We know the outcasts were received by Jesus, the lepers, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners.
And there were those groups that spurned him, that rejected him, that didn't think he was who he claimed to be, such as the Pharisees. But even amongst the Pharisees that by and large rejected him, there were some who received him. There were some that said yes.
In John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God."
So regardless of your family or religious connections or disconnections, you are not disqualified.
It's good news of great joy for all people.
Has anyone here ever lost their glasses only to discover them on their head? A few of you? Nice. Lost your phone only to discover it in your pocket, maybe? Yeah, I did that just before. I once managed to lose my keys, and it wasn't just for a few minutes.
It was for hours.
I've lost my keys more than once, it's true. But this one particular occasion where I lost my keys, and it was hours. I wasn't looking for them for hours, but you know, I looked for them intently and then did something else and came back and looked for them again. And it turns out that my keys were actually slipped into my wallet, which had been in my pocket the whole time.
It's almost funny, isn't it?
It's almost funny. Almost funny. Christy was somewhat inconvenienced by that particular episode. But it's interesting, isn't it, that sometimes we wait for the very thing that is already available. Mm. We wait for what has already been purchased.
We don't need to wait any longer to discover how God feels about us anymore. He loves us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Jesus came to show us what God was like, is like, what his heart towards us is. In every moment, in every breath of Jesus' life, he's showing us the heart of God towards humanity. He lived every breath of his life loving us, and then he died for us.
It's ridiculous. It really is what he has done for us. And these Old Testament saints that we've just read about with Simeon and Anna, they were so faithful. And they fulfilled the law, they did all these things that they were supposed to do, but they were waiting for this, for Jesus. And he has arrived. The culmination of what they were looking forward to and longing for is here. And he's still here today. And regardless of how many times you've been to church this year, regardless of whether you call yourself a Christian or not, what he has done is for you. Our wait is not on him, because he's already shown himself, revealed himself, and given himself to us. Mm. We don't need to wait to discover what our purpose is. Our purpose, the reason we were put here, is to know him and to show him to others. We don't need to wait to discover who we are. Anyone who has faith in him is his child. Mm. You are a child of God simply by believing in him.
He has arrived. The waiting for peace in your heart, peace with God, can end tonight. He holds out his life and offers it to you. God became a baby to get your attention, to demonstrate his love, passion, and commitment to you, to purchase you back. Because you're his family and he loves you. There's nothing he hasn't done, no price he hasn't paid. And at Christmas, we celebrate the most glorious love that ever walked the earth. There is none that compares, no hope that comes close to this marvelous love. All that's left is our response. Will we believe such good news and open ourselves up to this divine love? Anna and Simeon waited and hoped on the arrival of the Savior. Their eyes saw and their hands touched the Messiah in the flesh. As an infant, what an incredible privilege, what an amazing moment in history that they were witness to. But can you see that what we are offered in this moment is even greater than that? The invitation to connect with the Father, to receive his forgiveness and have a spirit's life living inside of us. That was the whole point of his coming. He wants you. Hear his desire for goodness toward you. We recognize and we declare tonight that Emmanuel has come, God with us.